Christmas Eve in Birmingham, a long way from Bethlehem. Mary and Joe live outside town, oh, run down the pond. Joe, you better get the car, tractions ain't that far apart. How can it stall after 60 yards? Out beside the barn. So away in the stables, run Mary Joe. It's not much shelter, but keeps him from the cold. Mary's hurting, Joe prays to God. They need a Bethlehem miracle, not in Birmingham. Kerosene lantern is the only light. Mary, don't give up the fight. You keep on pushing till the baby cries. Her last breath, has the dawn begins to break, across the field, valleys and lakes, baby's cry reaches light day, Christmas and God bless. So away in the stables, my Mary the baby go. It's not keeps him from the cold. Mary cuddles the baby Joe, thanks God for helping him. They had a Bethlehem miracle, that night in Birmingham. A Bethlehem miracle, that night in Birmingham.
Scripture comes from Luke chapter 2 this morning. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. Joseph, from the town of Nazareth to Bethlehem, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, was expecting a child. The time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
these Christmas carols with us. Everywhere do want to know about Jesus. I think that's why Christmas has the appeal that it does. And I know we have a lot of worldly things that seem to have taken the place of the Christ child in the manger. But I believe if we will just pray for our world, pray for not only the world over there, but the world around us, and ask God for opportunities, He'll give us opportunities to tell people about Jesus. Well, at this season, we have the privilege of telling them, don't we? The Christmas season is a season where it is just tailor-made for a witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. So people want to know about His birth. What makes Jesus different? What makes this story such a beautiful and interesting story that people want to know more about it? What can we learn, know and learn from the circumstances surrounding Jesus' birth? Well, in Luke chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3 there, we read the scripture passage about the census that was taken of the entire Roman world and how everyone went to register. And of course, Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem because that was their ancestral city. So I want us to think about the world of Jesus' birth. What can we learn from that world? Well, first of all, and I want to suggest these, and maybe you can think about them. I'm sure you can add others to them. But I see here a world that had authority. The Roman governor's name was Cyrenius, or his Roman name. That was his Greek name. This was the governor of Syria. His Greek name, or Roman name, was Quirinius. So you may find either of those names in your translation. But he was apparently a capable governor, but not a very popular one. And I think we see here that he was enforcing the Roman census. And there were a couple of censuses, one around 4 BC, which most believe was about the time that Jesus was born. And you may wonder, well, how could Jesus be born before Christ? But because of the difficulty of ascertaining, of course, the exact year, we don't have a birth certificate. So there was this, the governmental impact upon this event of Mary and Joseph coming to Bethlehem. Caesar Augustus, it says, issued a decree that a census should be taken. And I find it enlightening here that our Lord submitted to earthly authority. And the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, that we are to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as to them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Even our Lord did this as an example for us. Now, don't we see here the condescension of our Lord? The Bible says he came out of the ivory palaces. He was forever God. We saw that in John chapter 1, how in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And yet he submitted to authority. And I think he did so to teach us that we are to likewise submit to earthly authority. Now, we're not to submit to the point where we are told to do something that is contrary to the expressed, revealed Word of God. For example, if we were told not to witness, we already have the precedent of the apostles saying we must obey God rather than men. So there are going to be those occasions where we must stand against the evil of earthly rulers. But here our Lord submitted to the authority of the governors of the world. And there's also the cruelty here of the world of his birth. Tacitus, the Roman historian, had a low opinion of Quirinius in his later life. He spoke of his sordid meanness and overbearing conduct. And maybe he was a little like Pilate, whom you know was a rather evil ruler who shed much blood in his enforcement of Roman law in the time that Jesus, around the time that Jesus was born, or that he died, rather. So there was the cruelty here. Jesus came into such a world. And we only have glimpses here, and historians can fill in some of the details, but we know that it was a cruel world in which our Lord was born. Now, it may not have been in December, but whether it was in December or some other time of the year, this was a hard journey for Mary and Joseph to take, especially Mary, of being with child. I think we can learn from the cruelty of that world. We live in a cruel world, don't we? We live in a world where we are often subject to the whims and some of the unkindnesses of those that are over us in government and in business, where we work and so forth. We are all under authority. And here we can learn from our Lord. He lived in a cruel world. And in fact, in Isaiah 53, he's called a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I think he wanted us to know that he identifies with our feelings of injustice and our feelings of unfairness in this world, because this is a cruel world in which we all live. So that we can learn from the authority of that world, the cruelty of that world, but also the humanity of that world. Here it says that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Now that Greek word is the word we get our word ecumenical from. It's a word that means a household, the world viewed as a household. And it calls to my mind John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." So there are many things here that I believe we can learn about the world of Jesus' birth. But I also want us to look at the not only the world of His birth, but the way of His birth. Here it says in verses 3 and 4 that Joseph went up also from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. Now what about that way? Now, I'm not speaking just of the road that led from Nazareth to Bethlehem. There was such a road, of course. But just the way in which our Savior came into this world. Was it not a humble way? There's humbleness here. The simplicity and lowliness of the narrative. Probably the most beautiful narrative in all of literature. Certainly all of, maybe I think all of Scripture even. Of course, Scripture, many would say, is literature. It's not just literature, of course. This is God's Word. But truly we see here the humbleness of this one who later said, "I am meek and lowly in heart. Come to me and you will find rest for your souls." So there's humbleness here in this way of His birth. There's hardness. The way of our Savior was a hard way, as we see here in the journey of Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. And of course Jesus was with them, not born yet. But it calls to my mind that verse in Psalm 45:8 that says, "Out of the ivory palaces He came." He came from the heights of heaven's glory into this hard world. It was a hard way that our Savior walked. Speaks also later of the Via Dolorosa, the way to the cross, the way of suffering that our Lord walked for you and for me. But also the holiness of that way. In Isaiah 35:8, there's a verse there that says, "A highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein." So there's a holy way here that our Lord began His life with. That we find throughout His life, He lived a holy life, a life without sin. Though we can identify, or He can identify with us in our suffering, not in our sin, except that when it came time for Him to go to the cross, the Bible says God placed on Him the iniquities of us all. So there's the way of His birth, the world of His way of His birth, the way of His birth. But also, we can learn from the wonder of His birth. I want to read this scripture there again. It says, "The time came for the baby to be born, and Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Now, there's a wonder here. Again, think of that place where the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And out of the ivory palaces He came into this world." There has to be a wonder there that captures us. I think this is what makes Christmas different than any other worldly holiday. Because there's a wonder when we think about that birth of our Savior, the Son of God, into this world in such a lowly manner. I was listening a little bit of the Charlie Brown Christmas special. Some of you probably have it on tape or CD or DVD rather. And how you hear these little children's voices reading the scripture. It's so beautiful. So touching. It's more than just beautiful. It touches not just the surface, but it goes to your deepest heart and soul. Because that's the wonder of Jesus' birth. There's a prediction of that birth. Bethlehem was in prophecy. Maybe you didn't know that. But in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that's in the Old Testament. Spoken some, I believe, 700 years before Jesus was born. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me him that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Again, that's the wonder of Christmas. And there's not just the prediction, but the subjection here. Mary and Joseph were obedient to human government. So our Lord was born to the rules of humanity and submitted to human parents. I think to teach us, first of all, that He, being God, condescended to where we are. So that He could identify with our humanity and we could identify with Him in His becoming a man for us. But also to teach us to submit. Does not the Bible say submit to every authority? And to every authority that is instituted among men. Because no authority, the Bible says, is there except by God's permissive will, at least. Now, it doesn't say that, but I think that would be the correct view, that God allows governments. But also because we need government. We need government. And certainly we need to submit to the authorities that God has placed over us, because our Lord Jesus did. So there's the subjection. Also the rejection here, the rejection. No room sums up the world's reception of our Savior. John 1:11 says He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. And here it says that when Mary and Joseph came to the little village of Bethlehem, it couldn't have been very large in that day. I think now it's maybe 20,000 or so. It's a fairly large city. But at that time, just a small, sleepy town. And hoping to find a place of lodging, certainly with Mary's condition, soon to give birth. But the only thing that was available was this rude manger. And the Bible says that there was no room because there was no room for them in the inn. One of my favorite of the modern songwriters, I think I've shared this before, is a man by the name of Chris Rice. And he wrote the words to a poem he entitled "Welcome to Our World." I think Amy Grant and some others have sung it. But very, very beautiful words about the coming of our Lord into this world. I want to just read it to you. "Tears are falling. Hearts are breaking. How we need to hear from God. You've been promised. We've been waiting. Welcome, Holy Child. Welcome, Holy Child. Hope that you don't mind our manger. How I wish we would have known. But long-awaited Holy Stranger, make yourself at home. Please make yourself at home. Bring your peace into our violence. Bid our hungry souls be filled. Word now breaking heaven's silence. Welcome to our world. Welcome to our world. Fragile fingers sent to heal us, tender brow prepared for thorn, tiny heart whose blood will save us, unto us is born. So wrap our injured flesh around you, breathe our air and walk our sod, rob our sin and make us holy, perfect Son of God, welcome to our world."
God has sent His own.
home.